Picture a runway at Kennedy, 15,000 feet of concrete, the same strip the space shuttle used to come home to. It's quiet, and then out of a clear sky, something comes down final. No engine, no propeller, just a stubby little winged shape, maybe 30 feet long, riding a steep glide path down to the numbers. It flares, main gear touches, nose comes down, and it rolls out and stops like a business jet at the end of a long day. Except that thing just came back from orbit. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct, the show where we take the hard engineering of what's coming next and pull it apart until it makes sense from the left seat. Today we are talking about the Sierra Space Dream Chaser, a space plane named Tenacity, and the very old idea that the best way to come home from space might be to fly a landing pattern and roll out on wheels. Let's break this down. Before we go further, this segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey, one coin at a time. They're beautifully made. They've got real weight in the hand, and they last. If you've got a milestone worth marking or somebody in your life who just earned theirs, go take a look. AviationSoul.com, all right? Let's start with what this thing actually is, because the shape is the whole story. The Dream Chaser is what engineers call a lifting body. And a lifting body is a strange animal. On a normal airplane, the wings make the lift, and the fuselage just carries the payload. On a lifting body, the fuselage itself is shaped to make lift. The whole body is the wing. You've got these little stub wings out at the back for control, but the fat, rounded, blunt shape of the vehicle is doing the flying. Now, why would anybody build an airplane that way? Here's what most people miss. If you're coming back from orbit, you're hitting the atmosphere at something like 17,000 miles an hour. That's roughly Mach 25. At that speed, a long, thin, graceful wing is a liability. The leading edges get brutally hot and thin structures don't like brutal heat. A blunt lifting body spreads that heat out over a big, rounded surface, and it takes the punishment better. So you get a vehicle that can survive the fire of reentry, and then, once it slows down into the range where you and I live, it can still glide. It can still fly a pattern. It can still land on a runway. That combination is the magic. Survive Mach 25, then land like a Cessna. And this idea is not new. The data tells an interesting story here, because the Dream Chaser is the great-grandchild of research that goes back 60 years. In the 1960s, NASA and the Air Force flew a whole family of these things out at Edwards, the M2F2, the HL-10. Wingless-looking wooden and metal shapes that pilots hauled up under a B-52 and dropped, and then glided down to the lake bed. If you ever watched the opening credits of a certain 1970s TV show and saw a strange craft tumbling across the desert in a crash, that was a real lifting body, the M2F2, and the real test pilot walked away. Those little research craft proved the point. A blunt body with no real wings could be flown down to a precise landing by a human being. That was the seed. Then the thread runs through the Soviet side, too. In the 1980s, the Soviets flew a small unmanned lifting body called the Bohr 4, and Australian and Western reconnaissance actually photographed one after a test, and that shape fed into the design world. NASA took all of it and, in the 1990s, drew up a little craft called the HL-20, a personnel launch system, a lifeboat and taxi to get people to and from a space station. The HL-20 never flew, but the drawings didn't die. A company that became Sierra Space picked up that lineage, refined it with modern computing and modern materials, and turned it into the Dream Chaser. So when you look at Tenacity sitting on the ramp, you're looking at the end of a 60-year conversation about the same fundamental question. What is the gentlest way to bring something home from orbit? Let's talk about why that gentleness matters. Because this is where it gets interesting for anybody who thinks about airplanes and passengers and cargo. When a capsule comes home, a Dragon or a Starliner or an old Apollo, it comes down under parachutes and splashes into the ocean, or thumps onto the ground. And the deceleration on the way in is steep. You're pulling several G's on re-entry. For a tough astronaut strapped into a couch, that's fine. For a rack of delicate science, live cells, protein crystals, sensitive instruments, several G's plus a saltwater landing plus a boat ride back to port is rough handling. A runway lander changes the arithmetic. Because the Dream Chaser makes lift the whole way down, it can fly a shallower, gentler re-entry. Sierra Space talks about coming in under about 1.5 G's. That is a limousine ride compared to a capsule. And here's the part a pilot immediately gets. When it lands on a runway, on wheels, which means the moment it stops rolling, a technician can walk up, open the hatch, and pull the cargo out. No ships, no cranes, no waiting for the ocean to cooperate. If you've got an experiment that needs to be in a lab within a couple of hours of coming home, that runway matters enormously, and it can land almost anywhere with a long enough runway. The design target is a landing on a runway around 10,000 feet or longer. That's a commercial length runway. In principle, a Dream Chaser doesn't have to come home to one government range. It could come home to a lot of the same big airports the airlines use. That's a genuinely different way of thinking about spaceflight, and it comes straight out of treating the vehicle like an airplane. So that's the promise. Now let's be honest about the other side of the ledger, because on this show, we do not hype vaporware without caveats. Here's the first hard truth. The Dream Chaser does not take off like an airplane. It is not a space plane in the science fiction sense where it roars off a runway and flies to orbit. It launches vertically, folded up, tucked inside the nose cone on top of a rocket. The first vehicle, Tenacity, is built to ride on top of a United Launch Alliance Vulcan rocket. So the airplane part, the beautiful part, only happens on the way home. Going up, it's cargo on a rocket like everybody else. Second, hard truth. The winged shape is not free. Every pound of wing, every pound of landing gear, every pound of the thermal protection tiles that cover a big lifting body is a pound of payload you don't get to carry. A simple capsule is honestly a more mass-efficient way to move cargo up and down. The Dream Chaser is betting that the gentle return and the runway landing are worth the weight penalty. That's a real engineering trade, and reasonable engineers can disagree about it. This is not a case where the space plane is just obviously better. It's better at some things and worse at others. Third, and this is the big one, timelines. Let's be straight with each other. This program has been a long, long road. Sierra Space, back when it was part of Sierra Nevada Corporation, was in the running years ago for the contract to fly astronauts to the station, and it lost that competition to the Dragon and the Starliner. The company kept going anyway and won a cargo contract instead, NASA's Commercial Resupply Services 2 program, to fly uncrewed supply runs to the International Space Station. And the schedule has slipped and slipped again the way hard aerospace programs do. Tenacity has been built. It's been shipped to NASA's facility in Ohio for brutal environmental testing, shake tables and thermal vacuum chambers that simulate the violence of launch and the cold of space. That's real hardware, doing real qualification. But as of now, this vehicle has not yet flown to orbit and come home. The first orbital flight has been the thing that's always about a year away, and I'd tell you to treat any specific date with the same skepticism you'd give a marginal weather forecast. The airplane is real, the tiles are real, the orbital round trip is the thing we are still waiting to actually watch happen. And here's a caveat, inside the caveat. Gliding home from orbit with no engine is a one-shot, no-go-around proposition. The space shuttle flew every single landing, dead stick, no engines, one approach, one flare, one touchdown, and that is a demanding way to come home. The Dream Chaser inherits exactly that discipline, except it's doing it autonomously, with no pilot aboard, flying the whole approach on its own logic. The good news is, we have decades of shuttle data and modern flight computers to lean on. The honest news is that an unpowered, autonomous precision landing after a fiery re-entry is not a solved routine thing. It's a hard problem that a small number of vehicles in history have ever pulled off. So who's building this, and who's it for? Sierra Space is the company, spun out on its own now, headquartered in Colorado. And the cargo missions to the space station are really the proving ground, not the end game. The bigger vision is twofold. First, Sierra Space is a partner on a commercial space station project, a private outpost meant to help replace the International Space Station when it's finally retired around the end of this decade. A runway landing shuttle that can bring cargo and eventually crew gently up and down fits that world well. Second, the company has always talked about a crewed version of the Dream Chaser. Same shape, same runway landing, but with people aboard. That's further out, and it depends on the cargo version proving itself first. But you can see the logic. If you've built a vehicle that comes home at 1.5 G's and rolls out on a runway, that is a very civilized way to bring human beings back from orbit. Now let me pull the altitude back and give you the honest big picture, because I don't want you to walk away thinking this is either a miracle or a boondoggle. It's neither. It's a bet. The whole history of getting back from space has been a tug of war between two philosophies. One says, keep it simple, keep it blunt, come down under parachutes, accept a hard landing, and don't carry the weight of wings. That's the capsule. It's the philosophy that has flown more human beings safely home than anything else, and it's having a huge resurgence right now, precisely because it's simple and cheap. The other philosophy says, no, spend the weight, carry the wings, and buy yourself a gentle, precise, airplane-like return that lands where you want, when you want, ready to unload in minutes. That's the shuttle, that's the dream chaser. It is the more airplane way of thinking, and it appeals to exactly the kind of person who's listening to this show, because it treats a spacecraft like a flying machine that ought to land on a runway and get turned around and flown again. For 30 years, the shuttle carried that flag. And the shuttle was both magnificent and enormously expensive. And when it retired, a lot of people concluded the winged return idea had lost. The Dream Chaser is the argument that the idea didn't lose. It just needed to get smaller, cheaper, and mostly autonomous. Take the good part. The runway landing and the gentle G's, shrink it down, take the pilot out of the loop for the cargo runs, and see if the economics finally close. Whether that bet pays off, we genuinely don't know yet. The vehicle exists. The lineage is 100% real. Running back through those wooden lifting bodies bouncing across the desert at Edwards. But the ledger has real costs on it. The weight penalty and the schedule slips, and the sheer difficulty of a dead stick landing from orbit. And anybody selling you certainty on the timeline is selling you something. Here's what I'll leave you with. The next time you fly a power off 180 engine at idle, judging your energy, no throttle to save you, aiming for a spot on the runway, remember that you are practicing the exact same skill the Dream Chaser has to nail after falling 17,000 miles an hour out of orbit. Same physics, same discipline. Manage your energy, respect the glide, and put it on the numbers. The scale is absurdly different. The problem is the same one you and I work on every time we pull the power back and commit to a landing we can't take back. My thanks to NASA's own histories of the Lifting Body Flight Research Program and to Sierra Space and United Launch Alliance for the details on the vehicle and its ride to orbit. If you want to see this stubby little glider for yourself, there's plenty at radiohangar.com to send you down the rabbit hole. Go watch a power-off approach differently this week. I'm Vector, and that was Clear Direct.